Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
Gives a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, everybody. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Here we are. We sit at University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval. All ahead, of course, the Dragons taking on the Titans. And what is a crucial game for St George Illawarra if they want to get into some September action this year. We're watching Holden Cup as we speak, the under-20s and the Dragons, 36 points to nil over the Titans. Lovely to have the company of these three gentlemen. Gerds, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy, Tone. What about you? Yeah. It's always good to come to university on Sundays, Saturdays and Sundays, though, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
How did you go to university at all?
No, I missed university.
Did you, Tony? Run? You missed
what about
day?
You?
Yeah. No, I bothered the lecturers for a little while.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Newcastle.
Is it time?
Yeah.
How'd you go?
How is this surprise?
I just thought perhaps, yeah, it wasn't always compulsory when a man of your vintage, when you were coming through
that
the system.
That was still around, though.
Thank you, James Hooper.
I know. Yeah,
as a journalist, James, you would have obviously been, you know, higher education would have been the first thing you got into, wouldn't it?
No, I didn't go to, I sort of went more of the unconventional.
More of the lower education?
Yeah, more the unconventional route, Tone. So, no, I didn't go to university.
Big Dell, how are you, fella?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself, buddy?
Very, very well, thank
mate,
you.
Mate, how good is it to be here at home of one of the Dragons' home grounds anyway?
It is great to be here every time we're at Jubilee. Your boy, of course, has run around. He had some good news during the week, Tristan Saylor.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good news for my wife and I. Tristan signed a 2-year deal, NRL, so now he can pay rent, mate. No, not a chance. But no, we're stoked for him and he's pretty happy. So a lot of these boys have played together. So, you know, he gets a chance to chase his dream and go to uni in that. So thanks to the Dragons and Dave Riolo, I think, tight management. So yeah,
and he's just made a good tackle. Well played, yeah. Stick there.
A lot to get to this afternoon. It will be an interesting game. Oh, there's the issue with the Titans, the talk of Jarryd Hayne v Neil Henry, rather than being coach and star player who are kind of working together. But Jarryd Hayne will have some pretty good memories of this field as well. It might have been in 2009. He scored a spectacular try down that southern end.
Wendell loves being reminded of his story. Tony,
that's right, Tony, because that's where, remember, early in the game, yep. I sledged him here in the first carry and said, mate, it's going to be a long day for you.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. That's probably one that's come back to bite me on my big ass.
Well played. Yeah. Now, you've got some terrific plans, I understand, Gerds, for later in the day.
Yeah. I'm off every year about August. They do a Christmas festival up at the German school where my girls go to school. So I'm up there this afternoon. I'll be manning the barbecue, Tony, up there.
Oh, how good.
That's some kind of first, is it?
You're cooking the stags?
Yeah, it'll be a first. Yeah, but it's very organised. They actually had a pre-barbecue meeting through the week, being that obviously from the German school. I missed the meeting. I had something else on. So I'm not, they're talking about some sort of system that's in place. So I'm thinking, Tony, I'll be manning the buns, maybe. I'll be sort of holding a couple out, and the guy will be putting his sausage in, and then I'll be turning, and we'll be saucing it up and handing it out to the punters. I'm looking forward to it. Yes. It'll be a good evening.
Who doesn't love the sausages?
Yes. Yes. It's not exactly right.
So you did make that meeting, or you didn't make that meeting?
No, I didn't make
it. So how do you know what your role is?
I was just thinking what I'll be good at, you know.
It's a very efficient people, the Germans, aren't they?
They are efficient.
The barbecue meeting.
Yeah. So no, they had everyone that was manning a stall.
Yeah.
Had to go up for the pre-stall meeting.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know what happens at those meetings, Tone, but...
Absolutely.
Sounds like you'll be all over.
We're going to get a full and frank report this time next week, exactly what happened. Mm. As we do now, just a quick review of last week. Did you go to the team bonding drinks last Sunday evening?
Yeah, well, I didn't go because I knew you guys went. I sent the cooler.
How was the cooler? Yeah, did he have a good time?
He had a ball, the cooler.
He wouldn't have got a word in from what
I'm hearing. He didn't have a lot to say, no, the cooler. There wasn't a lot of space there, but we had a good night.
What about you, Tone? Did you get an olive branch extended by Buzz McNamara? Or?
No.
Oh.
No. Oh, look, I did get a late email saying, I was just an oversight that I hadn't been invited to a team.
Also was an oversight.
Of a whole group of people who have worked together for many, many years. Me, of course, I thought was a crucial member of that team. But
how long have you worked at Triple M for?
Oh, I don't know, 10.
Oh,
Wow.
I was there when Andrew Denton started on the breakfast show. So, look, how long is that? I don't know. I don't count. It's not important to me. I stayed at home. It's not important to me. The Knights 29 over the Eels. What a turn-up that was. We are going to have a chat very shortly with Nathan Brown. They are a great story at the moment, the Knights, aren't they? Three in a row, they've now won. And as what you talked last week, Gerds, about teams that can, you know, we talked about kind of getting a premiership a year out, but certainly in terms of next season, the back end of this year is just a great sign for the Knights, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got some really good young talented players, and obviously Nathan Brown's you know, been really patient with that team, and he's watched them develop and he's nurtured that group of guys, and it's certainly now starting to bear some fruit. The last couple of sort of weeks of Brock Lamb, his yep. form of yeah. late, the Saifidis brothers, the Matautias, all these guys, and then you've
Mitch
got Mitch Barnett as well, the back row.
You know what I loved him? I loved him when he took on Gal.
You could see he had a little bit of minerals about him.
Yeah, no, but they obviously they got some real talented guys coming to join the team next year. And they're building towards something, and it's been great to watch them win three in a row. Really cool. I didn't expect it last night. I thought they'd put up a fair bit of resistance. And look, I think Parramatta was certainly off the boil last night, but take nothing away from Newcastle performance.
Wait, that the chairman, wasn't the chairman that came out and said that Brownie should be probably moved on? Was it the chairman?
Yeah, Brian McWigan. Yeah. I think he'd been at lunch at the Vineyard all day by the sounds of things, because he's done a triple pike with a pirouette and a backflip.
Yeah, well, Nathan Brown is the perfect candidate for someone to build a club. You know,
absolutely. He's doing a great job. You could see, even when they were losing, Wendell, just leading up, they were only just losing in the final 10 and 15 minutes of games, and they were competing, and you could actually see that at some point they might build a little bit of momentum like what they have now. You called the game last night, Gerds. Do you think the Eels were guilty of just looking a week ahead and reading a little bit of the hype, perhaps?
Yeah, look, they certainly weren't the team we've seen for the last sort of 6 weeks, but... yeah, they've got some work to do, but look, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was an Eels fan.
We'll get into that in some detail later this hour. We'll also look at the Broncos and the Sharkies. It wasn't exactly the 300th celebration that Paul Gallen had wanted. 32-10, let's look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Broncos are over the Sharkies, as a repeat. The Knights 29, the Eels 10. Right here at Uni Wollongong Jubilee Oval, the Titans have gone in the Holden Cup. 36 points to 4 with just 10 minutes remaining. We do it all here on Saturday. Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Triple M rocking the footy with REM. We are at Jubilee in the Holden Cup. The Dragons 36 lead the Titans 4. We saw a try scored earlier. Terrific individual try by a young quick boy named Dylan Morris, who is the half brother. Yes. Dell, is that right? Yeah. The half brother of Brett and Josh Morris. Slippery's.
Yeah, son. Mate. All these guys have said have been together, and he plays anywhere. He plays anywhere from hooker to fullback. He's been the representative side, so he's been in the system. I think him and Tristan, 13, I think they're in the HP unit with Jack Bird and Jackson Hastings. But he's very talented, mate.
Quite the sire, isn't he? Old Slippery.
Oh, yeah. Steve Morris. Yeah. I hope he hasn't put the queue away. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't think so.
No, I mean, there, you know, lots of clubs.
Not if that's a track record.
Lots of clubs just calling him up. Are you available Saturday night?
And just to make you happy, Gerds, mate, it was actually the Steelers. A lot of these boys have all come through the Steelers system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they're playing
system down there.
They are playing some good footy. Broncos, as we mentioned, they beat the Sharks 32-10. Looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard, it was a crucial game. It was one of those ones that had semi-final style written all over it from the outset. It was also Paul Gallen's 300th game of footy, important milestone for him. He didn't have the most fortunate game, let's face it. The images of his son presenting him with the jersey in the dressing room beforehand were terrific. It was beautiful. But then, of course, he walked out onto it. I was fully expecting a lot of cheering from the Suncorp crowd as he arrived, but he certainly copped it each and every time he handled the footy, and he dropped a couple, had a bit of a sad match. But really, the entire team, they've been in that kind of position the past few weeks, haven't they? Haven't been able to grind out those matches, and certainly the Broncos were just far too good for them.
They were, Tone. Look, you've got to like and respect Gal, that he wears his heart on his sleeve, and, you know, he's happy to say things like, I hate Queensland, and you know, call them two heads and all that sort of jazz.
So up
at Suncorp, he was never, ever going to get a red carpet, warm and fuzzy reception. And unfortunately for Gal, his record at Suncorp, it's not great. I think he's won 4 out of 19 games or something like that over the course of his career, NRL and also Origin. But from a Cronulla point of view, they're clearly in a little rut at the moment. Gerds, do you think we discussed it last week, and that motivation factor and that desire when you're trying to go back to back, do you think they can kick again and make an impression in the finals? Or
I think they've got a really good performance in them, don't they? But they just can't do it consistently, and I think that's the concern at this point. You just can't flick the switch when it comes to the finals. I know that, you know, everyone's comparing their form to sort of how they were last year when they sort of they clocked off with about 4 weeks to go, didn't they? They'd sort of
they'd had that great run.
Their spot in the four was guaranteed, and they'd won all those games in a row, and they were sort of one of the form sides of the competition. They certainly haven't performed that way this year, so it's hard to compare last year to this year. So yeah, Hoops, for mine, they're just not going to be able to click into gear at one point and go on and win the premiership. I just don't think they've got it in them this year.
And I think for me, I think when you see what's happening with Jack Bird and obviously him going to the Broncos, and there's a bit of stuff happening in and around the Sharks now. You know, they're talking about that stuff. The Sharks team that I know from yesteryear, they just batten down the hatches and just stick together, like, you know, with the Asada stuff. And there's a little bit of, you know, when you win, as you said, Gertz, it's so hard to go back-to-back because you lose that sort of, you want to go back-to-back, but subconsciously sometimes it's just not happening because you've been there.
Didn't they throw a couple of red-hot chili peppers in the pan tone with the Jack Bird stuff during the week? The war of words between Wayne and Flano. And
get him in the ring.
Good banter.
Well, and Jack Bird's father.
Yes,
yeah, Mick got involved. Well, is always a bit dodgy, isn't it, when that happens, when you've got the family.
He's a parent.
Well, because it's, suddenly it's tennis.
But Wendell's exactly right. I mean, last year their main focus was obviously, you know, it had been 50 years. But this year, not just the Bird stuff, the baloney stuff, when everyone else started getting sort of big money in halves, he started making noises about he was all those things have a destabilising effect on the team, and it's showing on the field. So yeah, they've got their mind on other things at the moment. This year they might all think that, you know, we can pull it together and we can do it because we've got a good team, but fact of the matter is, Tony, I think they've got their eyes off on shiny things off to the side.
Well, boys, what about the Broncos?
Discipline has been the problem for the Sharks for a long time, and their discipline last night was just terrible. And James Maloney is kind of the image of that, isn't it? He's the most penalised player in the NRL, and it kind of leaked through to the rest of his team a bit last night. There was a lot of that going on, some missed tackles and just not completing sets, and you're never going to win a game of footy, certainly at Suncorp, against the Broncos.
Yeah, exactly. Like James Maloney, even though he plays tough and gives a penalty away here and there and that sort of stuff, last night for me, to miss 10 tackles, that's massive. That's not James Maloney's standard. You know, I know it's not all his fault, but the Broncos were red hot last night, but geez, the Sharks were off. I'm not going to write the Sharks off yet, but what I've seen the last couple of weeks, they just don't have what they have had last year.
Speaking of clocking off, in the under-20s here, the Dragons have three tries have come in for the Titans. They're 36-12 at now, with just a couple of minutes remaining in the Holden Cup. Tautau Moga, how good was he in the centre? What a big, strong unit he is. And we speak to Nathan Brown soon. He, of course, is heading to Newcastle next year. It's a big bonus for them. Their back line will look terrific. But he was great. He was very difficult to hold. The Broncos just looked the goods. Did you like what you saw, Del?
Oh, mate, he's been a very good player. He's been unfortunate. I think he's had two ACLs, I think. And just to see the way that he's playing now, he's so strong. And I think he complements that back line well with James Roberts. Two very different style of centres. And as you know, Gertz, he's just so hard to handle. He's got all the skills, but he's just so powerful. Like, he's an absolute beast.
It suits him the way that the Broncos play as well. They play so laterally, don't they, at the moment? They just spread the football from the left to the right. And that combination now that we're seeing through the middle with Hunt, Nikurima, and Milford, I mean, that's got alarm bells written all over it. I mean, those guys can just tear you apart. And then the stability of Darius Boyd, I mean, it's just coming. I know they lost McCulloch and he was always going to be hard to replace, especially, you know, the work that he does through the middle and his leadership qualities. But what they're able to do now in relation with their attack, the focus point being, you know, Hunt in the middle and those two halves playing off the back, there's no other side in the competition that plays that style of football. And yeah, it's a real string to their bow. And I think what started out being a real negative could turn into quite a positive for them in the finals.
You've got to say, they're up there, aren't they? I mean, now their spot in the top four is there. We've talked about who does get to challenge the Storm, who is the side that can do that. I mean, the Roosters will know a lot more about them after that game this round. But what about the Broncos? There's no reason to believe that Wayne Bennett can't get them up for another GF.
Well, I remember speaking to Wendell in the lead-up to that loss to Parramatta that week, and we were discussing the fact that if there is a team that's going to play a style of footy that could perhaps trouble Melbourne, then it could well be the Brisbane Broncos. Then when they suffered that loss to the Eels and lost McCulloch on top of that, I kind of went, yeah, no, I just don't think that they're going to be able to build the right momentum, and things aren't aligning for them at the right time. But I'll tell you what, on what they've submitted over the last fortnight, I know the Gold Coast were flat, but last night against the Premiers, I thought that was a massive statement. And yes, Tone, to answer your question, I think that the Broncos, they're in the red hot crack.
And I think the Roosters and the Broncos, I know the Roosters didn't play that well in that second half last week, but I think they've got the game plan and they've got the game to beat the Storm, because if you keep throwing structure at the Storm, mate, that's what they love. You've got to play a bit of Adelaide football, and I think the Broncos went down there last year or the year before and beat them down there because they played a bit of Adelaide football, and that's what you got to do, because the Storm, they're looking good, but at some stage, they're going to have to plateau out a little bit too, you know. No Cameron Munster last week, Billy Slater steps up and they're going to be tough. But yeah, the Broncos, they're going along just nicely. And that Parramatta game was just a nice kick in the butt they needed.
I love the way that Wayne Bennett completely, fully believes in the system at the Broncos and how it affects, you know, various players. We were talking about Moga, and he said after that game that, you know, of course it's confidence is improvement, and that's what the Broncos can do to a player. Now, when you have, the coach has that kind of belief in the system that you come to the club, you're going to get to another level, that does, you know, it's kind of self-evident, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's exactly what, even when Jack Bird signed to go there, you know, I just know that system's going to be good for Jack Bird. I know what Flano was trying to say, but Moga, that's the best I've seen him. He just needs to do his job, and his job, he's doing wonderful, and he's getting that confidence. Mate, you know, the players in and outside him, Darius Boyd at the back, you know, Gillett, mate, Josh Maguire's gone to a new level this year. I didn't know how he'd go going into the back row, but
he's killing it.
He's been nearly their best player this year.
Yeah, yeah, he's surely, Mel Manning is going to pick that World Cup squad at the end of the season. Brisbane are going to be there when the whips are cracking in the finals, and you'd think Josh Maguire, well, he's going to win another green and gold jumper because he's one of the form forwards of the competition at the moment. But just on Tau Tau Moga, congratulations. He's a classic example of just never giving up. How many ACL recos has he had, Wendell?
I think it's two of those,
and then he's had other massive injury issues, and, you know, he was, it's just a great story because when he was coming through, he was identified young, Tone, and he got some raps, he had some pressure put on him. There was talk, he was labelled potentially the next Israel Folau.
That's right.
And look, the performances that he's been able to submit consistently over the course of this season, it's just great to see because he did have a lot of injury setbacks.
And for Nathan Brown to identify that, and then be able to go after a guy, because you know at this point it's crucial that Nathan Brown not only gets the talent of his roster correct in who he brings to the club, but also the personalities.
Yep. Recruitment. Yeah,
and that's key, especially when you've got a young side, that you bring the right people in, that they're professional, that they don't, off the field, they've got their game together, and they're not leading the young guys astray. And so Nathan Brown, he's done his homework on all the recruits that he's brought into that squad, and he's another guy that, you know, off the field must have all his ducks in a row.
The other Brisbane players, so they've got Tau Tau Moga going to the Knights next year. They've also got the young gun prop, Herman Essiessi.
Oh, yep.
And the other Brisbane Broncos current player who they're having a red-hot crack at, I think they're a good chance of getting him, is Adam Blair. The Knights are having a massive go at getting Adam Blair, and I reckon they're probably in with a good shot.
And Wayne's pretty smart too. Like, he understands that Adam Blair would probably give him another one good year, but it's a bit like when he let Jeremy Smith go from the Dragons. Not that he wanted to, but if he can get two or three more years somewhere else, and that's perfect. And, you know, we talk about that, you know, the culture of different teams. You know, you need to have good blokes in and around, and Newcastle, they could do with a guy like Adam Blair.
There's a story in today's paper about Richie Faiosso and his admission of drug use and talking about its prevalence within the NRL. The story was by Paul Crawley. We're going to chat with Crawls next, right here on Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
One, two, three, four. A minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And we are at University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval. When I say we, I'm talking, of course, about the great James Hooper, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you, the Ty Power scoreboard, the Holden Cup, all over 36-12 to the Dragons, who are travelling along pretty well in that under-20s competition with some great young players going around. Not the headlines that the NRL likes to see in today's Saturday Telegraph. It is a massive drug problem, is a description of the story. Richie Faiosa has opened up about his use of alcohol and drugs and how it related to the NRL. We are now joined by the man who penned that story, the one, the only, Mr. Paul Crawley. G'day, Crawls.
How's things?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. Lovely to be sitting here watching some footy at Jubilee. It's a bit more difficult to be talking about an issue. Why has Richie Fayoso, what is the story he's opened up because of his kind of coming to terms with his own issues and how this has affected his life? I know he's been in rehab, so hopefully he's getting himself into a better place. He says, though, he's trying to help out anybody else in potentially the same situation.
Well, I think it's important to say that Richie never approached me to do this interview. Now, I found out about his situation and that he'd been in jail and he was trying to turn his life around through the people at the Glen, which is the rehabilitation centre he's at. Yep. And then he agreed to talk. And the reason wasn't to make himself the headline. And he said he didn't want to get anyone in trouble, but he wanted to talk about it because it is a serious issue and it almost cost him his own life. Now, people will say, you know, the NRL is doing all it can in drug education and testing. Well, you've got a player here that played at six different clubs in 11 years, and he says that he was introduced to drugs through the players he looked up to. He took pills, cocaine and ice. His entire career never once failed a drug test. Am I the only person that finds that concerning?
Yeah, no, you're bang on, Crawls. Look, it's a hell of a story, and it's easy to stick our heads in the sand and block the ears and just smother the eyes and pretend it's not happening, but we're kidding ourselves if that's the world that we want to pretend to live in. Do you think that the NRL is doing enough in this space?
Well, one of the things Richie said to me, he said that there were times throughout his career that he felt like he was crying out for help and he never really received it, you know, and again, he didn't want to bag the NRL and he didn't want to say that people aren't trying to do their best. But in his situation, he felt that there was no one he could talk to. And he said, especially after the incident where he broke his neck, I think it was in 2014. And he said that's when he got onto the drug ice. And after that, he tried to make some approaches and he just felt like the people he spoke to were just ticking boxes, not really there for him. And at the Glen, where he is now, he feels that he's the important one. They've worked to try and get him through the issues, and you just wonder, well, is it all right? I don't know if it is.
No, well, the answer is that that it's not, you know. Like, if we're talking about real-life issues here and if people are experiencing those types of problems, then you need to be able to talk to people and you need to be able to seek help if you need it. Let me ask you, is there a positive out of Richie's story in that what's he doing now and what does he want to do going forward with his life, Crawls?
Well, the positive right now is that he's been 5 months sober. This is his second stint at the Glen, and in between that he had a month in jail. And he's been clean and he realises the person he was is not the man he wants to be. You know, it's almost cost him his marriage. He went to jail for a domestic violence incident. He didn't go into that, but he did say that I've been horrible to my family and he'd been horrible to his kids and he didn't want to be that person. So I think by doing what he's doing now, he's opening up to his problems, he's admitting them, and yes, he has a positive outlook ahead and all he wants to do is be a good man, a good father and a good husband.
Ross, we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't believe that this was an issue in a lot of workplaces that involve young blokes together. And I'm sure that's something that's going on across this country of ours. But this is specific now we're talking to the NRL. That question you mentioned about the drug testing, it is something that Todd Greenberg and the NRL say they do religiously and vigorously. What has gone wrong that someone like Richie Fayoso, who comes up and admits what he's done, doesn't turn up a positive test?
You've got to wonder, don't you? Like he said to me, he ran the gauntlet throughout his career and he couldn't believe that he never got caught. There were times where he had been on drugs. He'd had four-day benders, he said. And wow. He used to escape testing. He used to, you know, maybe get a bit of a nod-nod, wink-wink, that there were going to be testing, and that's how he got around it. And he never failed one. And I think the other issue that maybe, you know, wasn't played out in the headline today, but it's a bit concerning too, is that we'll remember that Richie had some really serious concussion issues throughout his yep. career and the broken neck. And it was after the broken neck that he got on the ice. Now, I asked him, I said, do you have any concerns that you have, you know, lasting brain injury from what happened during your career? And he said, I really don't know. I said, have you had any testing? And he said, no, I haven't. And I found that kind of incredible too, given all the recent medical evidence about head injuries in sport that a that a bloke that had suffered so many, you know, it's just been swept under the carpet again.
Yeah. Well, I think the most disturbing element of the story was that sentence that he really began his drug journey, if I can call it that, when he saw some of his heroes, those players, and got involved. That really, to me, is disturbing. I understand you've obviously spoken to the NRL and they talked about the number of illicit drug tests they have, 2,500, isn't it, each year. So they are doing that. They do have welfare officers at the clubs. So they are trying to do something with this issue.
Yeah, well, they are, and there's a lot of good people that work in those departments at the NRL, and this is not to bag them. This is just to tell one man's story, and the fact that he'd been at six clubs throughout his career, that he'd never failed a drug test, you have to say that what they're doing, as good as they're doing, is not working, and it's not fixing all the problems.
All right, Crawls, as ever, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you on NRL 360 during the week as well. Thanks for having a chat.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, Crawls.
There is Paul Crawley.
Look, I can understand. I feel for Richie. I went down a path, and it wasn't about running the gauntlet for me. So I think when I tested positive, I got to Sydney and I carried on a bit, and I went out middle of the week and partied. And when I got tested, at no stage did I think I'd return a positive test. I've been tested about 30 times, but I look at it now, and I had to be accountable because I was going down a road that. You know, it wasn't me when I came from Serena. I didn't drink till I was 21. And I'll be honest, being at the Broncos, we had a really good culture there. I made a few choices to start drinking, and then I went down, obviously that other road, and it nearly cost my marriage and kids. And looking at it now, the NRL and also the grassroots level, they are trying to do the best job that they can. But I think individually, you have to be accountable.
Yep.
Mate, I was accountable. I reckon. People keep asking me when I go to functions and work with kids and that. I said, it probably cost me $1.5 million.
Wow.
That 2 years, but it probably saved my family and me, because I wasn't being a good husband, I wasn't being a good dad. And I look at a guy like Ben Cousins. I wasn't that extreme.
Yep.
But if I didn't get caught, would I go down that road? I know drugs. We all know drugs are bad, but my two young blokes have been through the system, and Asada. They're there, and Asada was in a week and a half, 2 weeks before when I was at the Waratahs,
yeah.
And they gave us the talk. I sat there, and I thought it was a bit too cool for school. I didn't really listen. But when you hit rock bottom, and I know Richie's been at rock bottom, I was never that rock bottom, but I can understand where Richie's coming from. And yep. I just, for me, it's just something in your life. It's not just footy, because I had mates outside of footy. I was going to nightclubs, A-list events, and I was carrying on like a big head.
Yeah,
and mate, I deserve what I got. 2 years in the game, I didn't deserve to be in the game.
All right, as a dad though, that must be difficult when you hear stories that there was older players and people they look up to who,
of course,
were involved.
Mate, the hardest thing that I see sometimes when I'm sitting there, my young bloke, I'm being a parent, mate. The Asada stuff comes up, and there's myself there, the 2 years out, and they talk about Ben Cousins, and they talk about Andrew Johns to an extent of that.
Yep.
So even Joey, Joey said he was, down that road for 10 years. He come out, he was honest, and people have, they've got their choices and that. But look, mate, Joey, as Joey said, it's just accountability,
Drugs aren't an issue that are confined specifically just to sport or just to rugby league, though, Tone. It's everywhere you go in society. The NRL is only a microcosm of that. And look, I think that... from all the education and all the learning that they attempt to provide, they're having a crack, but there are always going to be, unfortunately, cases that slip through the cracks, and that doesn't mean that that's acceptable.
The hardest thing, I reckon, when you do hit rock bottom, I think it's the people that you let down, the ripple effect, and I think the hardest thing for me was when I left Serena as an 18-year-old to be coached by Wayne Bennett and that, and at the Broncos, to ring my mum and tell my mum, my dad passed away 4 years before that, it's probably the lowest I felt. So, you have to man up after that.
Yep.
And even my wife, there was times that I think she would have walked out the door, but they stayed rock solid,
Yeah, well, that is the good news of that.
It's not always the NRL, too.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people point the finger at the NRL. But it's actually, the NRL only have a certain amount of resources, and it's the clubs. Richie also spoke about the six different clubs that he went to where it also wasn't identified. So the clubs themselves run their own footy office, and they have their own people in those positions. So, yeah, I think it's easy just to go, well, there's a problem in the NRL. Well, I imagine if you go to the Melbourne Storm, imagine you go to certain clubs, Wendell spoke about the Brisbane Broncos, there's probably not the same problems as there are in some of the other clubs because of, you know, the leadership and the different things, you know, the resources that some clubs have. So, yeah, it might be hard to identify it all the time at the individual clubs, depending on what club you're at, but I think it's sometimes too easy for everyone just to go, well, it's an NRL problem, because the NRL, they can't be in every club all the time putting together, you know, all the testing. The clubs run their own testing to some degree, so I think everyone needs to take a little accountability for it.
But, you know, when I read the article, like, I was surprised too, but even Richie talking about ice, I know when I got in trouble, they said, oh, what drugs have you taken? And I'd said two drugs, and they were going through ice and all this sort of stuff, and I said, no, I've never taken that. But it's just so prevalent now, and I do worry.
That's a dangerous
young sad. Kids, daughter, yep. You know, two young boys. It's a society, and we know it's wrong. It's not just the NRL.
Well, the important thing out of people like Richie speaking up and this being on the front page, Tone, and Crawls coming on and having a yak to us about it, is that you try and learn, and everybody listens and tries to take something out of it, and it is. Ice is the most abhorrent, dangerous, horrible thing that you could ever see in society. Don't go near it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't touch it.
Why don't we have a bit of a good news story next? And I reckon the Newcastle Knights are exactly that. We'll chat with Nathan Brown next on Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday, Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squire, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Beautiful day for a game of footy as we speak in the Intrust Super Premiership New South Wales Cup. It's North Sydney taking on Illawarra. It's good to see the old North Sydney Bears strip running around on Cogra Oval. Very nice indeed. Right now, though, why don't we play a bit of this?
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Simple task I set the three of you heroes, just to find out three of the best in a certain category. And I was just lying awake this morning thinking, who are the best players who've never won a premiership?
You were not.
Is that what you do on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, time? Well, I was thinking, well, I'm probably not going to win a premiership this year. And I haven't won a premiership in any of the sports I've chosen to play, Ryan.
So at any level?
At any level. No, that's not true. I won an indoor cricket trophy one.
Mate, how good was indoor cricket?
It was indoor cricket.
Mate, we did have a game at some stage. It was the best.
Would we still have a game?
Yeah, we could organise a game. We should organise a Triple M game.
I'm
a gun at indoor cricket too.
Are you really?
Yeah.
It is
kind
of, you know, sort of thing where you do a calf muscle playing indoor cricket when you get to my age.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so I was, you know, I've got many awards in my time.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Most improved, like 8 years in a row. It makes you wonder how rubbish I was to begin with. All right. Gentlemen, so the best rugby league players never to have won a premiership. Who's going to start me off? Where do I look? I'm looking to you, James Hooper.
All right, I'm going to go first player, Nathan Hindmarsh.
Yes.
I know he comes on a stick on Fox League these
they
days.
They don't bring it up that much anymore.
about the fact that he's never won one and about the fact that he's the flop king and all that sort of thing. But I've got to say, on a serious note, Hindy was, when he burst onto the scene, he was an absolute gun, and he was a gun for many, many years. He was one of the first pick for the New South Wales and Australian team for a long stretch. And, you know, I can still remember those images, and they play them on Fox regularly of that 2001
Yes.
It was heartbreaking.
Castle 22-0 after 20 minutes or something.
Yeah. So I'm going Hindy number one. Number two, I'm going to say Stephen Blocker Roach.
Yeah.
Block was, again, similar style of player. Regular and representative sides, played in that 89 heartbreaking grand final.
Taken off a few minutes to go and couldn't go into extra
Warren time. Warren Ryan, one of the greatest scandals of all time, is why he took Block and Ciro off, and we still talk about it today. Sterlo had it on his show on Fox recently, where he had the interview with the Raiders boys and also with the Balmain boys. And then I'm going to go Junior Pierce as well.
Yeah, nice.
Pierce, another great player and another Balmain boy. And Just couldn't quite get there, Tone.
All right, Wendell.
Now, I'm going to mix mine up a little bit. I'm going to go with a little Kiwi man here named Stacey Jones.
Oh, great player.
Absolute weapon. I think he got to one grand final. I think they lost against the Roosters.
Yeah, Roosters 202.
Mate, the little general, he was great. Number two for me, Gene Miles. He was one of my heroes, as I said. I love Big Gino, big, powerful, skillful. I think 91, he was captain of the club. 91, I think he left, went to Wigan, 92. Then they won back-to-back.
Two in a row against the Dragons.
So, yeah, but Big Gino, the Townsville boy.
I like that.
And then lastly, I'm going to say Jared Hayne.
What?
Because, mate, Jared Hayne has set a standard for a long time. You know, he virtually carried Parramatta in 2009. I know he probably didn't have his best Origin series, but he's always been a player that I'd admired since he was a 17-year-old.
Because he ran rings around you at this very ground.
No, he didn't.
2009.
No, he didn't beat me, mate. He beat seven other blokes.
You sledged him, and then he carried Parramatta to the ground.
Yeah, mate, I've always been a Jared Hayne fan, and I reckon at the moment he's a player that I think, and he probably won't win one either.
No, he's listening downstairs on his headphones as we speak.
Especially if he stays at the Titans.
All right. What are you about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I know he didn't play a lot in the NRL, but Wally Lewis, obviously, he had most of his career up in Queensland, but still never won an NRL, probably the only thing that he hasn't achieved. I'm going to go with Trent Barrett. Could possibly win one as a coach. I think he's certainly got the potential at some point, so he might get his premiership glory in that regard. And what about the great ET?
Absolutely.
Never went on all the emotion in last year's grand final.
Yeah, how good were those scenes?
Never won one himself.
Yeah.
I like it. All those terrific picks as Illawarra go in under the post through Reece Kennedy to score the first try in this New South Wales Cup. Illawarra 4 lead North Sydney next. We're going to chat with Nathan Brown about the good things that are happening at the Newcastle Knights. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. Triple M, rocking the footy for you on a Saturday afternoon. We're going to catch up with Sean Timmins, one of the great Dragons. We're also going to do, thanks to Iveco Trucks, we are going to preview this game and plenty else that's happening around. Obviously, last night in the Type House scoreboard, the Newcastle Knights, too good for the Eels, 29-10. It was a great win for that Newcastle team, and gee, it bodes well for what may be on offer for fans of Newcastle in season 2018, all led by the great man, Nathan Brown, who joins us right now. G'day, Brownie.
Hey, Tane, how are you, mate?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Gee, it's a good story what's going on with your boys at the moment. That was a terrific win last night.
Yeah, look, it's been a long, old, tough road for a lot of people involved or supporting the club, but I think, this is certainly on a fair few occasions this year. We've certainly been close in the last 3 weeks. We've sort of done a little better and found some ways to win.
And is there a kind of increasing belief within the group as well?
Oh, look, I think the fact, as you pick up a few wins, we all know that there's no doubt the winning certainly gives a little bit of confidence. I think, against St George and against the Warriors, and now last night against an informed Parramatta, I think the guys have probably seen some reward for a lot of hard work they've put in, because even though the latter at times hasn't suggested, they have been turning up a train and really working hard and studying their videos and working hard on parts of their game. We just weren't quite good enough for a fair period, and now a lot of hard work sort of been rewarded, and we you get to bounce the ball along the way as well, which helps.
And it's good now that I've seen that Brian McGuigan is releasing the Nathan Brown Shiraz.
That's going to be all over that.
Hey,
Brownie Gers, congratulations, mate. Really enjoyed the last couple of weeks. And obviously, leading into this little run you guys have had, we've seen you just been heartbroken up in that box so many times this year, with the side going out to really good early leads and then obviously just letting themselves down in the back end of the game. Last night, though, from about 65 minutes, you relaxed up there, you had a smile on your face. Did you must have enjoyed that part of the game where your boys had it sewn up and they weren't going to take their foot off the pedal?
Yeah, well, we haven't had a lot of occasions, Gerds, as you've alluded to, where we could relax in the coach's box right at the end of a game, but we felt we'd worked hard, and we the scoreboard was suggesting we're in a good spot, and we felt really comfortable, especially we had a bit go our way against the Dragons, and we found a way to win. And I thought we dominated the second half against the Warriors, and we've certainly, I suppose, messed up a few back end of games when we're in good positions, but now we're starting to do it sort of repetitively. You feel a bit more comfortable and a bit more confident the boys will get the job done.
But you've had success in, obviously over in the Super League and that. Are you enjoying this, seeing the development of these players now, as much as you ever have in a coaching role?
Yeah, look, when I was at St George, we had a couple of waves of younger kids come through, and then in at England, I brought different lots of younger kids through, and obviously this has been a tough one with where the club was at, and you know, to have so many young kids have to come through without enough experienced players around them made the task a little tougher for the players. But you know, as you see them slowly improve, you know where it's heading, and regardless of the results in the first half of the year, the scoreboard and how we were competing was telling the story that we had improved a lot. We just weren't quite good enough to win, and fortunately, you know, of late we've found some ways to win, and that's a credit to the players actually working hard and actually still believing that what they're doing can work, and you know, finally they've got some reward for the hard work they've done.
Yeah, Brownie, it's Del, mate. Look, I think you've done a wonderful job there. Look, I've been coached by you, but, you know, you've got a great, as a coach, there's a lot of different personalities, as you know, whether it was a guy like Jamie Soward or myself. But, mate, talk me through Nathan Ross, mate. I love the Ross dog, mate. He plays with so much energy. I know he didn't play, this weekend, just gone. But, mate, you put him back in a reserve grade start of the year, but it's just a little kick up the butt that some players need.
Yeah, look, Ross, he's one of them personalities, Del, that you cannot not like.
Yeah.
He's you can't not like him. He's one of them ones that Rossi will tell you himself every now and then he needs a little tap on the head to remind him where he sort of is in the pecking order of the scheme of things. But, look, he's a great guy, and he loves the fans, and they love him, and they've sort of got a great bond with each other. And as much as they like him, he loves the adulation that goes with it. And he trains really hard, and, you know, the better he's gone and the more he's got paid, the harder he's trained, and that's a real credit to him, because, you know, in today's day and age we see times when players get big pay rises, their form drops, and he actually trains harder the better he's rewarded, you know, and he's a really likable character, and you certainly would have fitted in well in Big Del, I can assure you.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, I was saying to the boys, the time that I was up there rubbing sun cream in Willie Mason's back, and you sent me a nice little text about having a train because I wasn't looking as good as I should have been, as I was telling you. You're a good man, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, I forgot about that one.
Oh. No, trust me, I haven't forgotten, mate, one of your best.
And it was refall, Wendell, when I was up there, they were bringing the stuff out in bucket loads.
Oh,
they knew we were mates.
I'll tell you all fair, mate, Brandy's text was absolute gold.
Hey, Brandy, it's James Super, mate. On a serious note, congratulations. This story and the rebuild that you're doing at the Knights at the moment, it's a fantastic job. And for the Newcastle supporters, they really have stuck solid through some really, really tough times. What does it mean for them to be able to get the results that you have over the course of the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, look, on the fans, when I sort of first came, Denny Madeira said to me, he goes, if you tell the fans like the truth where we're at, he goes, they actually understand the game quite well. Actually, they are real rugby league people, and you know, the fact we did bring a heap of young kids in, and you know, probably a lot before their time last year, they were quite respectful of that, and they've been so supportive, and they've not by, I suppose, what they've said or not said, but by the way they've turned up. And you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago against the Dragons when we'd still only picked up the one win this year. It was a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock when all junior football's on, junior sports on. And we got over 15,000, and that shows that they're voting with their bums on the seats. And, you know, we used the story last year, at the end of last year, Cronulla played the Roosters, and if they won, they would have been minor premiers in the second last round. And Cronulla got 14,000 or 15,000, and we played the Rabbitohs on the Sunday and got over 18,000 when we'd won one game for the whole year. So their support's been sensational. And to see the wins, I suppose, and the joy on their faces is makes it as much happy as it does to see the younger players get some wins as well, because the team and the town certainly do have a bond together. And hopefully with all the pain they've been through over this year and last year, hopefully those rewards will come, and you know, the crowds get bigger, and those sort of loyal 18 or 20,000 get to I suppose see plenty of wins.
Brandy, you're doing a wonderful job there through the system. But, you know, when you're at the Dragons, if you had your time over again, I know we're going back to go forward, but would have you sort of gone away first and gone to another club or gone to England before sort of coaching the Dragons? I know when you get off of the job, mate, you know, it was there and you're confident enough because you had all the attributes to do it. But if you had your time over again, would you still do that?
Yeah, look, Del, definitely. I think any person leaving a club where they've spent their whole life at has got nothing but positives for them to go and see things done differently and learn things from, I suppose, a whole different system can only be rewarding. And any coach that I coach now that's been with me and has been at one club for a long time, regardless of how good they are, I always encourage them that they should leave if they do want to coach that club, to come back. And it certainly works out, I think, the experiences you gain for leaving far outweighs the ones for staying.
Hey, Brownie, that game last night, that's the first time that the Knights and Parramatta have met at ANZ Stadium since the 2001 Grand Final. Did you know that? And did you talk about, you know, what those players were able to achieve and what they sacrificed for the club back then in the lead-up? Or
One of the coaches picked up on it really quickly early in the week, and Danny Medeiros actually come and spoke to the players on Thursday before training, and had some highlights of the grand final, and Benzie spoke about the grand final and what it meant to, obviously, not so much the players but more to the town, and exposed them about the lead up to the grand final and why they thought they could win that game. So, and used the terminology that they were big underdogs and we'll go into the game as big underdogs, and everyone was talking about Parra. And yeah, so Benzie gave the players a really good story and a bit of an insight into that week leading up to it, and obviously the game in the after match.
Brownie, it was a great win, great story of the Knights at the moment, and then you could have watched the other game and seen Tata Moga doing such brilliant stuff and realised, oh, he's going to be in a Newcastle jersey next week as well. It's all looking good. Well done, mate.
Thanks very much, guys.
Here's Brownie.
There he is. Nathan Brown, the coach of the Newcastle Knights, as we said, one of the real good feel-good stories of this season and into next, you'd imagine.
He'll be on NRL 360 on Fox League on Monday as well, Tone, with Ben Eichen and Paul Kent. So tune in.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Illawarra 12 lead North Sydney 0 in the New South Wales Cup. We'll be back shortly. We do it all for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.